Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Upon this, your confession,
I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
My heart is in the anguish within me.
The terrors of death have fallen upon me.
But I call to God,
and the Lord will save me.
Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan.
And he hears my voice.
He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage.
For many are arrayed against me.
The giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her whole household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 21st chapter. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, and nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text from John chapter 5. When Jesus saw the man lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is the text. No doubt you've heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves. Maybe you've even said it a time or two, God helps those who help themselves. Just so we're all on the same page, you should know that that's not in the Bible. No chapter, no verse, you won't find it. But that doesn't stop people from thinking that it's in there. And sadly, I think that's true not only of that saying, but of others as well. We'll take as gospel truth anything that's catchy or remotely religious. God helps those who help themselves also makes sense when you look at it from a certain angle. That angle is usually when we're at our wit's end over what someone else is doing or not doing. When they complain to us about their life, we say, "Well, you know, God helps those." It almost makes sense, I say, because we do have some responsibility, but it only makes sense until you're the one who needs help. And then you realize what a load of garbage it is. Because if you take it seriously, God helps those who help themselves, it suggests that God isn't really doing much of anything to help anyone. Not unless you do it yourself. It would leave us entirely on our own. Just imagine that man at the pool of Bethesda who'd been an invalid for 38 years. And think about that, 38 years. And I moan and complain about the aches that I've had for a single week. But imagine how that man could have responded if he'd believed that stupid saying. When Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed?" he'd have said, "Well, yes, of course I want to be healed, but God helps those, so you really can't do much for me. I'll help myself first. I'm good. I've got this." And that guy would still be there today, still trying to help himself and still failing. Lord, have mercy. Or imagine if the sick man had when the sick man said, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and another one goes before me and gets there first." Imagine if Jesus had heard that and just shaken his head and said to him, "Well, that's really too bad, but God helps those." And had walked away. I mean, what help would that be? That's no better than an idol. An idol is as much help as that. An idol has a mouth but does not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Think for a moment about how poisonous it is to believe that God helps those who help themselves. It would have left that lame man with nothing. Jesus would have simply walked away, and we would still be, well, where would we be? But in our sins and our despair in our discouragement and in deep trouble. God did not come in the flesh to help those who help themselves. God came in the flesh to those who cannot help themselves. And as we think, especially today, about the confirmation of our four young women, I'm reminded that even as they make their vows and promises here before God's altar, that it does not rest simply on their shoulders. When they make their vows, we're not asking them to make promises to help themselves so that God maybe will help them at some point. They are confessing their faith, that they believe that God has and does and is and will help them because they need it, just as we do as well. Jesus didn't shrug his shoulders and walk away. Jesus isn't a mute and unseeing idol. His hands and his feet aren't worthless like stone and wood. He has flesh and blood like us. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as St. Peter once confessed and as we confess him still today. In him, we say, was life, and that life was the light of the world. Why did he come to us? Why did he take on our human flesh and enter our world? It was because he viewed the whole world as a Bethesda. He viewed the whole world as a house of mercy or a house of grace. He looked out and he saw the multitude of invalids in it, the blind and the lame and the paralyzed, and those who are sick with sin and bound for death. And he knew where to find the sick, those who need help but can't help themselves. In Jesus, God helps those, period. He helps those who are in need. He helps those who are broken and weak. He helps those who are going through uncertainties and troubles. In Jesus, God helps. Just start there. He helps those who need help. You know, think about that invalid of 38 years sitting by that pool of Bethesda. No idea how long he'd been sitting there, how long he'd been waiting for help. But he wasn't looking for Jesus. He didn't even cry out to Jesus. He didn't seem to know anything about Jesus, but Jesus knew about him. And Jesus set out to find him and to heal him and to share his life with him. Where do we look for help in our times of need? I mean, besides ourselves. Where do we go to find that support and that strength? For that man at the pool of Bethesda, he went there because he believed that pool had the power to heal and to strengthen him. We're told elsewhere that people would come to sit by those pools. They'd wait for the water to move because they believed that when the water was stirred up, an angel came down and brought healing properties to that water. And they believed that whoever stepped in first would be healed of whatever disease he had. I wonder if that lame man saw the water stirred, even made his way into the pool, only to find that he was second or third, or for whatever reason that he wasn't the one who was healed. And even when Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" the man focuses on the pool. He says, "Well, I'd love to be healed, but I've got no one to help me in." That's where he was looking in his need. Looking not to God in his mercy in Christ, but looking to that pool to provide the healing that he was seeking. Where do we look? Where do we seek out help? What is the perhaps largest and most growing section of collections at Borders or at our libraries? It's all the books about self-help. You know, because we believe that God helps those who help themselves, so we've got to help ourselves first. And if it's not that book, it'll be the next one or the next one. And we're always looking for the fix
that we can make. But Jesus has come, not to write a self-help book, not to give us better instructions on how to live, but simply to grant us his healing. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And here's the key verse. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Where is it found? Grace to help in every time of need is found at the throne of grace, in the house of grace, from the man of grace, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he did to help you, to help us, to help that man who was an invalid. Our Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. How was that man healed? By his wounds, you have been healed. It is the wounds of Christ himself that bring the healing that we need. And the healing that man received that day was not a healing that came from himself, but it was a healing that came from Jesus, who would stretch out his arms, his feeling hands on the cross, who would move his feet to carry the cross to that place, who would bear the sins and sicknesses of the world in his own body. And so we find our healing from that throne of grace, from his cross, given to us in his holy and precious gifts, as Jesus with his wounds comes to us in holy baptism and in the holy communion and in his holy and precious word. And he says, be healed. I am here to help. And I am here to strengthen. And I am here to forgive. And I am here to grant life. What that invalid received there by the pool of Bethesda from Jesus was only the beginning. When Jesus does grant us a healing or a miracle in this life, that is not the end. That is only a small taste of what he has in store. For we believe that not only is Jesus able to help us with our physical ailments and our sins and sicknesses now, we believe that he will even raise our bodies from the dead. That's what St. John saw when he had his vision of the new heavens and the new earth. He saw a new world where the Lord God is the light in the city of God, and the Lamb is its lamp. He saw a city where there will be no weeping or crying or tears anymore, where there will be no sins or sicknesses or death anymore. He saw a city where we will walk in Christ forever. That is the healing that Jesus brings, starting now, but completed when he comes again in glory. And so we wait on him and we trust in him and we put our confidence in him. With King David, we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We hear what Jesus himself said when he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is our help. He is our strength. He is our salvation. He is the one who is for us here and now. God helps, and he helps through his Son, Jesus Christ. He helps you, and he helps me. Not only today, but at every time and in every place, he is the helper who is ready and stands near. And so we cast our cares upon him. And we receive from Jesus what he has to give. Our Lord Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, speaking with his disciples, said to them, peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then Jesus went to his cross, and he rose from the dead. And he comes here to you this day to grant the help that you need, to give you his promises, to strengthen you through your trials, to relieve you of the burden of thinking that it all depends on you, or you have to simply help yourself. He helps, and he is faithful, and he will be with you now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite forward our four congregants, Madison, Maddie, Martha, and Linda. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You have been baptized and catechized in the Christian faith, according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, and to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism, and say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil, and say, "Yes, I renounce him."
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works, and say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways, and say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? And say, "Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth."
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? And say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord."
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And say, "Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit."
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God? Then say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the scriptures as you have learned to know it from the small catechism, to be faithful and true? Then say, I do.
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Madison, Maggie, Martha, and Lydia, the whole congregation here, family and friends as well, rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and you have been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Please kneel. Madison Elizabeth Bergeron, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Madison, for you the words of King David, the psalmist, who trusted the promised Messiah, who is both his Son and his Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Margaret Ann Connell, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Maggie, the promise of Jesus who came into the world to invite everyone. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Martha Christie Gregory, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace for life everlasting. Amen. Martha, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end, saying, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Lydia Helen Johnson, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace, the life everlasting. Amen. Lydia, like a little lamb, you belong to Jesus, the shepherd and overseer of your souls, of your soul. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. I invite the entire congregation to stand as we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Bring forth in them the fruits of faith and grant that they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty and most merciful Father, in the waters of holy baptism, you have united these, your children, Madison, Maggie, Marta, and Livia, in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleansing them by his blood. Renew in them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that they may live in daily contrition and repentance with a faith that ever clings to their Savior. Deliver them from the power of Satan and preserve them from false and dangerous doctrines, that they may remain faithful in hearing Christ's word and receiving his body and blood. By the Lord's Supper, strengthen them to believe that no one can make satisfaction for sin but Christ alone. Enable them to find joy and comfort only in him, learning from this sacrament to love you and their neighbor and to bear the cross with patience and joy until the day of the resurrection of their bodies to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Amen. Let us now pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you never refuse the cries of your children. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we ask for help and protection and for the good of our families, our neighbors and rulers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our pastors and our overseers. We pray that you would grant your particular care to expectant mothers, Rachel and Rachel. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, as Paul preached the word to the Macedonians, so you desire all people to hear the gospel. We pray for the saving peace of Christ among the nations, both here and throughout the world. Call and equip pastors, missionaries, and church workers to serve your church in Christ's name. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, direct and enrich the efforts of the faithful women of your church. Make them eager and wise in good works, serving the ministry of the church as faithful Lydia served the mission of St. Paul. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, give wisdom to our leaders and government, that they may lead with integrity and according to your perfect will. Protect police officers, emergency personnel, disaster relief workers, and members of our armed forces as they serve in our defense and for the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, hear our prayers for the sake of your dear Son, Jesus. In his name we cast our burdens upon you, especially the burdens of John as he recovers from his illness and hospitalization, and Dee as she cares for and encourages him. Robin, as she struggles with pain and recovery from her surgery, as well as Bruce, Kay, Louise, Debbie, Lee, Audrey, Care2, Nancy, Tiffany, and Bernie. Sustain them in every trial and hear us all as we cry out to you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you are our hope in the valley of the shadow of death. Grant comfort to all who mourn and lead us to remember with thanks all who have laid down their lives that we might enjoy peace and liberty. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you graciously provide us with the gift of Christ's true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Grant us repentance and faith as we commune this day, that we may receive from your hands this good and precious gift. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Today's psalm is Psalm 67. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.